Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Michael Mack here, of course, with my boy, T.H. Tom Hellis, T.I.F.A. Always good. Like you said, brand new edition. Talk a little something different today than what we normally discuss.
Yeah, man. It's going to be a really good show. Hope you guys are listening. If you are
listening.
If you're listening to the show today, we're going to talk about baseball. And if you've been paying attention to the World Series, then you know there's a lot going on. And what we want to do is just bring you guys up to snuff about what's been happening so far in the Major League Baseball's Championship Series, also known as the World Series. So let's go to a clip and roll it. And that game 1-4 for the World Series.
Yeah, that was Fox's Joe Buck on the call. Mets versus Royals, with the Royals taking a 3-1 series lead off of a dramatic finish last night in New York. Last time either team won the World Series was in the mid-80s, and coincidentally, that was the height of viewership for baseball. Since that time, it has steadily decreased, and we are here to talk in our first of a two-part series covering what is wrong with baseball, and how can America's pastime be repaired? Today we look at issues surrounding the declining popularity of baseball, and on Wednesday, November 4th, we're going to discuss how baseball is trying to become more relevant. Mike, I grew up watching baseball as a kid. You know, I sat there with my grandmother, and I loved it. I thought it was the greatest thing ever. So I love baseball. I don't understand how people can't watch. And that's just one issue that baseball has right now. I'm going to throw it to you right now. What's going on? I know that you don't watch on a regular basis. I know that you will. It's not that you don't like baseball, but I just want to get your opinion of what you think lacks in baseball that's just not as appealing as other sports. Obviously, football and now basketball becoming the number two major sport in the country.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that pull me in from different sports, whether it be football, basketball, even an outside sport like a boxing or growing MMA. And I don't know if baseball is making me gravitate towards their sport, or not just me, but maybe other people who aren't watching now. There's nothing done that is electrifying or something that is looked at to be, wow, I have to watch that, or that's exhilarating, or it makes me get up on my feet. Some things that are done in baseball just don't make me do that. They don't move me. But I watch because I understand the game. I get it. It's a slow game. Be patient. I understand. But there's some times where there's different parts of the game where it speeds up, and you're like, oh, my God, I just missed them. And you're, like, kicking yourself because you did.
Right. That's a replay for them.
Thank you. Yeah. But I think one part that you touched on, for me, would be the viewership standpoint. And that just everybody, I mean the target demographic, 18 to 49. Per Deadline.com, okay, there's a 4.6 rating for viewership among that age bracket. Now, we know about the World Series being played right now, the grandest stage of baseball. I watch it every year. I always make sure, I don't care if it's a 1 a.m. last pitch or if it's a 11:30 p.m. last pitch. I want to be able to hear Joe Buck on the call say, and the Blanks have just won the World, because it's like it's nice. He brings a different element to the game as he does for football. And that makes me get up on my seat. And I just think baseball is lacking that it factor that the other sports have known to get.
Yeah, and then I agree with you on that. You know, I mean, we talk and have talked about one of the things that baseball really doesn't have is flair. It's got old school feel, and you have to play by these old school rules. You know, I don't know if anybody out there heard the, I don't want to say Chris Rock rant, because it was a rant, but it really wasn't. I think he was trying to get a
message. Yeah, it was like a piece that he did for HBO Real Sports.
Real Sports, right. And, you know, he pretty much agreed that, you know, there's nothing that baseball does, it's unwritten rules that you have to follow. And I'll leave it at that, because there was a little bit more that he said about that.
Right.
But at the same time, I think that's a real thing. Like, I think that, you know, the lack of viewership is correlated with a lack of black players in the sport at this point in time. And those numbers have steadily decreased. I think there's a correlation between these two things that can't be overlooked. And I don't want to overstate it, and I don't want to get to the point where we're talking black versus white or anything like that.
Right.
Because I don't think baseball is here to say they don't want this. Because it's quite obvious that there are quite a few Hispanic players, and now more than ever, Asian players are starting to come into this league and be good. Before, it was Asian players weren't that good. Now, these players are coming in and actually showing that they can perform in this league, and it's just going to increase and get bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't think it's a matter of saying we don't want anybody that's not white in here. I think it's more of the fact that there is some type of stigma against baseball when it comes to a black athlete. And let's face it, when you have numbers dip and black athletes are no longer playing in the sport like they used to, which again was at its height in the 80s, 19% of black athletes were playing in this league up to, I think they just upped it from last year to 8% instead of 7.8%. I don't think you can overlook that.
Yeah. I mean, that goes in part with the viewership as well. Just for this World Series alone, I mean, these are some positives for baseball, but then you have to look at the negatives as well. I mean, 40.6 million people overall watched at least all or part of the World Series so far from games 1-4, including last night. Best primetime viewership from 8 to 11 p.m. on Fox for prime time since February 2012. And you look at a 14.9 million average viewership for the World Series, and it's like, okay, these are good numbers. But then we look at the other sports that, like you said, offer that flair, but basketball. The NBA Finals last year, 19.9. Then we all know about the NFL and the Super Bowl, over 140.
Yeah, that
people. So that doesn't mean, right, so we're not going to go deal with that. But it's something to the point where there's an article done, this is all the way back in 2007, okay, where Jerry Everly, he's an executive director, Washington University in St. Louis, he said, and this is something that Chris Rock hit on, where nostalgia in baseball means segregation, because how far can we go back in baseball and look and say, okay, well, you had MLB, not the MLB we know yet, but a form of it, and then you had the Negro Leagues, and it was kind of like more of a pizzazz league, if you will. It was kind of that, wow, this is nice. I like watching it.
Well, there was more people showing up to those Negro League games than there was Major League Baseball.
Right.
Is that where you're going with this?
Well, I was going to say, now, he said, this is Jerry Everly, he's saying you can't really come up with one definite reason on why African-Americans don't participate or watch baseball. He said, this is the unpopular answer I'm going to give you. He's just saying, hey, blacks don't want to play just because they don't want to. There's no real answer to that question.
So, to me, that's not an answer, because I think there's
that's why I said it was unpopular.
Well, I don't think it's an answer. I'm not upset about it. What I'm saying is I think there's multiple different reasons. I think that you can't just say, this is it, that's why it is, and it's clear cut. I think there's a lot of different factors working into this, and that's obviously what we're here to do right now.
Right.
I want to quickly go back to what you said a minute ago. 19 million was the viewership for basketball. We both believe it's going to continue to go up because of what's going on with how they market themselves. The last time baseball hit 19 million or more was 19.4 in 2009 when the Yankees played the Phillies. The time before that, where that's average for World Series games. That's just an average of all the games combined. The last time before that was the first time the Red Sox had gone into the World Series
back on four
since 1900, back in 2004, and that was 25 million. So these numbers are much, much lower. Other than those two, when you've got the Yankees, which has worldwide appeal, and then the Red Sox, which was something that hadn't happened in so long, it was like everybody watching.
Exactly.
So I think that that's something that we need to touch on is how well is baseball marketing itself to not just black athletes, but to younger athletes in general, or to even just young people to watch and to view.
I mean, really from a market standpoint, the only commercial that I see are Subway. Rollins and what's his name from the Angels.
Unless you're watching a baseball game, you don't see baseball commercials. I mean, you literally have to watch a baseball game to see baseball commercials, which is odd because we're already watching.
Right.
I think you need to put commercials out there somewhere where they're not just watching baseball. But, you know facilitators like ESPN, they really push basketball on just about every single show that they do right now. I listen to a lot of sports talk radio, and I hear basketball being pushed over and over and over, not just on Sports Talk Radio, but on the other shows that they have as well. Around the Horn, PTI, Outside the Lines. Outside the Lines does a good job of spanning around.
First Take.
I mean, there is basketball everywhere. They don't talk baseball that much. They'll give it a little bit of time, but it's mostly football and basketball, and there's reason for that. Something is missing. And I think that they think themselves, the popularity is not with baseball. We can't talk baseball all the time. We have to talk about this because it's just not popular, which then it's like a cycle. It just keeps turning over on itself.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's why maybe execs say, well, we can't talk baseball because there's no excitement there, but we can be the force that drives the excitement to baseball by trying to market it. I don't know if that or another conglomerate is doing that.
I think that baseball needs to get something involved with waking up the people that create the marketing. I think it's difficult when you don't have the superstar athlete that you used to have, the guys that you could really gravitate towards. You know, and I hate to say this because obviously, you know, the steroid era was a problem for baseball.
And but from an eyeball test, oh my goodness,
people were watching Mark McGuire. People were watching Sammy Sosa.
That bad?
People were watching Barry Bonds. It is what it is at this point. You know, I think that they've taken a big hit because of steroids. The numbers are down. And, you know, I don't want to go back to that where you're constantly saying, maybe they're doing steroids because he just hit his 45th home run of the year and we're in August. But
right.
I don't want to be looking at that saying, is this guy on steroids? But I think that that might be another reason. You know, so we've got a couple different things that we're looking at here saying it's not just this, it's not just this, and there's more. I mean, look, and we can go back to the whole black athlete thing and say, if you don't have people that we can watch as a society, more than likely we're not going to watch.
Perfect example. You know him very well. This guy's career was eroding. He announced his farewell tour and said, hey, guys, I'm done with it. I'm retiring. But people still follow him. That's Derek Jeter. Because he was a recognizable name and a recognizable face in the sport that had
on the most popular team in the sport too. Let's at least make sure we do
right.
That.
Right. But then still it's like people were watching him I haven't seen more Derek Jeter jerseys or Derek Jeter mentions more than ever than as of late or as of recent when he was still playing. Because it's like, wow, this is it. Like, you never watch this. You weren't really looking at the sport, now that you are in retrospect saying, wow, it's really over. An iconic figure is retiring. I mean, wow, I want to watch them. But then it's too late. But for some people who do that, they say, oh, wow, this is not maybe damn good experience. They say, oh, wow, this is not as bad as I thought it would be. Baseball gets new fans. That's great. But if I run into the average person on the street or somebody who's no more than 30 years old and I say, hey, name me 5 baseball players. 5. I don't know if they can do it.
See that? And we're not just talking black, white, Hispanic, Asian.
We're talking players.
Right. We're just talking players. Now let's get down to how many black players can you name? There's average 2 on a team. There are some teams that have 0 at this point. There's really only 2 that we can name in this series right now. And the only reason I can name them is because I follow baseball pretty regularly.
Kane. Curtis
Granderson. Right. Lorenzo Cain for Kansas City, Curtis Granderson for the Mets. Jared Dyson, let's at least give him some due. He is also on Kansas City's roster, but he is not a big-time player. He's just a bench player at this point.
Right.
You know, I think you would be very hard-pressed for a lot of people to say, okay, give me 5 baseball players. But if you were to go back to the 80s and the 90s, I think you could name multiple baseball players just because of what was going on back then and how popular it was, even amidst the strikeout that they had, or the lockout that they had, the strike in 94. So I think it's one of those things that there's not enough marketing, there's not enough big-time players, you don't have a representation of a big part of the athletic society in this country, which is African-Americans. And I think that's the truth. I think we're just being as honest as we can about these things.
We have to be.
And, you know, I think it's one of those things that baseball looks at and says, this is a big problem. But there's not much being done about it. I mean, we've read quotes from Dusty Baker.
Yeah, and Dusty Baker, we're talking about managerial things now, where how many African-American managers do we have in baseball? The answer is 0. Dusty Baker came out during an interview with USA Today, I said, quote, we're in a very dangerous situation. I've been talking about this for, you know, this minority thing for 40 years, and I even hate talking about it now because all it is talk. Nothing's changed. Who's going to stand up and say anything about it now? Everybody is afraid to stand up knowing it could be costly to your job and family. So the disturbing trend, this is from the article as well, end quote. The disturbing trend, though, is that Baker, Bo Porter, have been the only African-American managers to even interview for one of the 5 managerial openings. Willie Randolph, Jay Manuel, never got a call for reasons we won't discuss that we think because of prior history. And not only did former 13-year veterans, Zelino DeShields, who was managed the last 5 years in the Cincinnati Reds organization, or Blue Jays bench coach DeMarlo Hill. Guys who are in line to get that job, you've seen in football all the time. The next great defensive coordinator, the great offensive coordinator, the football mind, like a Todd Bowles for the Jets. I forget where he came from now. Arizona. So you see that guy primed to be next, and you're like, okay. And also NFL has a Rooney Rule that has been implemented. Some people don't like it, some people do. Tom, you got some info on that.
Well, I was just about to say, just as my opinion on that, I think this Rooney Rule thing is something that, because it's been talked about at length, it's now being implemented more. I didn't even know that there was a quote-unquote Rooney Rule. It's not called a Rooney Rule in baseball, but Bud Selig implemented this rule in 1999 where all clubs must interview a minority candidate for a managerial vacancy, you know, any minority candidate. And I didn't even know that. So what we're basically saying is that information that's out there to learn about baseball, to understand what's going on with baseball, isn't even readily available as it is with football.
Right.
Because you hear about it all the time. Everybody who watches football knows what the Rooney Rule is. I guarantee you, I'm somebody that watches baseball on a regular basis. I did not know this existed. That's not good.
Right. I mean, because from the outsider looking in, you're like, huh, there's so many of the same kind of managers. But why is that?
Yeah.
And then you think about the Rooney Rule, they don't even know that this exists.
Like, yeah.
Who would think that it should?
And that's another thing where how stringent is this rule and how well is it being used? And it doesn't seem like it is.
Right.
You know, and that's something that is a problem with baseball. Another problem that baseball is having, trying to figure these things out.
Yeah, we know baseball wants to get – Part 2 is going to be a solution. They have to get done that. We know that. What they're doing now, I think it's an older man's game. I think viewership is in the lower 50s on the age average.
Right.
But I think it starts young. This is something that you and I talked about. Because right now, per USA Today, 65% of African-Americans in baseball are over 30. So when you look at the age bracket for over 30, we're talking early 80s, late 70s, these guys were born, and it was a different time coming up where baseball was very popular. Like, hey, you're going to play baseball. You're going to be somebody, football, okay, cool. You can do it minor league, or not minor league, you can do a little league if you want, a little basketball, get yourself well-versed, but baseball is going to be your focal point, and I think we saw that. Trends going now with, you know, African-Americans being drafted in the first round, 18 or in the past year, 2 years ago, 40% of the players are foreign-born in the MLB. So there's a lot of – there is a melting pot. Let's not give
– I also, real quick, we talked about this separate from the show, but I want to make a distinction.
Please.
People that are considered Hispanic consider themselves Hispanic, whether they're lighter-skinned or darker-skinned. So we want to make sure that people understand that that's what we are saying. And we both know this firsthand from knowing multiple people that are Hispanic and black at the same time. They don't consider themselves black, quote-unquote African-American, because they are not.
Right.
They are Hispanic. So that's where a big distinction, I think we need to at least put that out there. And these are topics that are difficult sometimes to discuss, but I think as long as you're looking at it arbitrarily and saying, look, even white viewership is down in baseball. It's not just black.
It's viewership as a whole.
Viewership as a whole in this country. Now, in other countries, Hispanic and Asians, it's up. People are watching it, and there's a love affair there, and there's no doubt about that. But at the same time, here in America, whether you're white, black, or whatever you are not watching baseball as much as you used to.
And here's a great example of getting the familiarity by seeing someone who maybe looks like you that you can look to and say, wow, I want to be like him, or I want to grow up to play baseball or basketball or football like him. You saw when Hideki Matsui came into the Yankees, and it was like, oh, my goodness, could you see? Oh, my goodness, look at the pitching. Oh, my God, it's crazy. And you saw this a new kind of like fan base coming to baseball that, if you weren't familiar from before, now you are. Because, yeah,
I mean,
like, oh, my goodness, a whole new wave of people.
He was a superstar in Japan.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when he came over here, it was a huge, huge thing for them in Japan. And the Yankees are the most popular team in Japan by far. There is no doubt about it.
They opened the floodgates.
Right. And then, you know, Ichiro Suzuki who was going to be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, sure, sure.
When he came over here, you know, he for sure bridged some of that gap. And now you're starting to see, again, a lot more Asian players starting to come and be relevant. Again, I think that's one of those things where it doesn't matter if you come. If you're not relevant, what are we talking about? Because there is a boatload of Hispanic players that are extremely good at this sport and are relevant, and people know them more than they know even some of the white players and, of course, the black players that are here. I think when you talked about what's going on with baseball, you look at it at a young age, at a little league level. A little league level, and I want to say traveling league level, because if you really want to be a baseball player at a young age, you need to be in a travel league in order to go further. And for anybody out there that wants to maybe check out an article that I read not that long ago. It's called Moneyball Junior, Baseball for Minors Looks a Lot Like the Majors by Ainley Shipley for the Sun Sentinel. It was back in March of 2013. I just want to throw this quote out there. "Your whole lives revolve around this," said Tobin Colchera of Boynton Beach, whose son is aged 9 and 11, played for the Lake Worth-based Florida Piranhas. Again, that's the name of a travel league. "There are plenty of guys out there spending $2,000 a month. I hope I'm not. I don't want to look." That's just one small quote of how much money is being spent in these leagues. And I think when you look at the real factors, again, I want to go back to what Chris Rock said. Money's not an issue. You're buying Jordans all the time. I think you need to maybe look at that and say, wait a minute. Jordans don't cost $2,000 a month. Jordans cost a couple hundred dollars. If I'm not mistaken, I don't buy Jordans. But that's just, you know, I think that's what they cost.
I think so, too.
Okay. You don't buy Jordans once a month. At least some people don't. I know some people that do.
Oh, yeah. Standing in line.
Right. But you know what I mean. You don't need to buy a pair of Jordans once a month. But if you're dropping $1,000 to $2,000 a month just so that your 9 to 11-year-old can play baseball so that it can be relevant for them, that's a huge divide as far as what we're talking about of who can afford to play baseball and who can't.
I think it's to the point where we've seen this, something we talked about on the show off the air as well, where we got a couple minutes left, where we had a discussion about parents and children and seeing free agency and seeing salary and seeing what players make into the sport. Mm-hmm. And football, you know, is very popular. Most parents out here is playing football. You look at the salary. And you look at a guy like a Joe Flacco or a Colin Kaepernick, you see that big balloon number of $100-some-odd million being given to them. But then you're like, wait, only a portion of that is guaranteed. Where you look at baseball and you see, wow, a guy like, I don't want to use A-Rod, but their buddy.
He's the one that made the big, huge contract.
Yeah, 13-252. And you're like, wait a minute,
baseball money all guaranteed.
Yeah. Well, if you grow up, you play baseball. That's what you play. And because that's it. And
throw the injury factor, too. But now you're talking about kids age 13, 14 years old. And, again, I will go back to this article that I just quoted by Ainley Shipley. One recent Monday, five youth baseball Pensacola office of Dr. James R. Andrews, an orthopedic surgeon known for his work with professional athletes. All had just sustained injuries. Andrews told the Sun Sentinel, and all would need Tommy John elbow surgery, a reconstructive procedure named after the former Major League pitcher.
Tom, what's wrong with that statement?
Five youth baseball players needing Tommy John surgery. This is what's wrong with baseball. I think there's too much emphasis on youth playing baseball year-round, and that creates people doing things or getting hurt in ways that they're not supposed to. And that's also something that creates a lack of viewership for people because they can't afford to play it. So they didn't play it to begin with, so therefore they're not watching it when they're older. The next episode that we're going to be talking about how to fix these or solve these issues going forward. And we're not the only ones out there looking at this. There are organizations out there looking to say, we want to get this fixed. Major League Baseball commissions are saying that we want to get this fixed. And we're going to cover multiple different things that they are doing and that we think could be done going forward.
Well, folks, thank you for listening to a live edition of Making Sense with Mike and Tom. Again, Wednesday, November 4th, we are back. Hit up MFW Sports on Twitter to find out. With TH, I'm MM. Deuces.
for it to hold. Got Uncle Zach smoking some for blow up they nose to cope with the lows. The wind is holding it blows. In they socks and they soles, niggas holding they rolls. Corners leave souls open and closed, hoping for more, with nowhere to go. Niggas rolling in droves, they shoot the wrong way, cause they ain't knowing they go. The streets ain't safe, cause they ain't knowing the cold. By the foes, I was told, either focus or fold. Got cousins with clothes, hope they open some doors, so we can not close, and roll in a roll. Now I roll in the O's, with windows that don't roll.